Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide breaking down the latest happenings with LSU Athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Here at Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, there is nothing like it.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. Hello, everyone. Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine. Tonight, we are broadcasting live from the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard. And we're here every quarter or so to highlight some of the great events that are happening at the library. But, of course, here today, we're also talking about LSU baseball and LSU women's basketball. Big weekend in Baton Rouge, a season opener for the Tigers as they're defending champs in 2025. The defending champs from 2025 look to try to repeat once again for the first time since the 96-97 season. And then, of course, can LSU women's basketball finally defeat South Carolina after losing 17 in a row to the South Carolina Gamecocks. So for tonight, we're going to spend a lot of the first hour talking baseball, and then in the second hour, we're going to talk a lot of women's basketball. So that is what you can expect here on Tiger Rag Radio, and we're going to sprinkle in a couple of folks as well from the library. Todd, you ready for the start of baseball and a big women's basketball game on Saturday night? Oh, hold on a second. Let me turn your mic on. Go ahead.
I am ready for baseball to start, and I don't know. You think Mulkey can pull it off? Think she can beat Dawn Staley?
The feeling is that this is the year to do it, right?
Well, I mean, they got it. They really do have a great team whenever they're playing well, but when they're not playing well,
yeah.
And you know, South Carolina shot 69% and beat Tennessee worse than Tennessee's ever been beaten before.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't think LSU's players will quit like Tennessee's players quit, according to their coach. So, who knows? But anyway, baseball.
Yeah, let's get to baseball, and let's get to our first guest. We're going to have Jay Johnson on later on in the show, by the way. And then we got a good lineup of people to talk about the women's game coming up on Saturday night. Reed Darcy with the Advocate, and then Captain Will from Gamecocks Talk.
Captain Will.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him. But let's bring on Kendall Rogers from D1 Baseball. Kendall, how you doing tonight, my friend? You fired up for this weekend?
I am doing well. I always know when you guys call me here at this time of year, that means it's baseball season. The only thing I got to ask is you got to tell Jay that I kind of set the stage really well for him. And so we got to see if he delivers.
D1 Baseball's got LSU ranked number 2 in its preseason poll behind UCLA. Kendall, when you look at this 2026 team, how are they better equipped to potentially repeat as national champs as opposed to the 2024 team?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, what's really interesting, we had the number 2 overall, but kind of in my personal kind of ranking, I had the number 1. I just think when you look at this team overall, I feel really good about the offensive pieces. I think as good as Derek Curiel was last year, I think there's more power generation coming in his frame. You know, he worked really hard in the offseason to gain strength. I think he's in a really good spot there. You know, I look across the diamond, and, you know, Jake Brown is a guy for me that's top of mind. I kind of feel like he is going to have a monster year. And, you know, he had a good 2025, but I mean, I think there's way more in the tank than what he's done so far. And then you've got other guys like Cade Arrambeedy, who is certainly an elite talent who, you know, didn't have quite as big of a role as maybe he thought he would have had day one. But, I mean, again, he has a chance, you know, this year to go out there and be a superstar as well. So I just think when you look at LSU on paper, you know, there's veteran pieces. And they're super, super talented younger pieces throughout the lineup and also the pitching staff.
Kendall, when you look at LSU this year, well, first of all, you may have them in your personal number one, but D1 overall has UCLA number one. And can you explain that? And then we'll talk a little bit more about LSU.
Yeah, it's a staff vote. So, I mean, we had UCLA number one, but I actually really do like UCLA's club. I think if you look at the Bruins, the common denominator on championship teams is experience and, you know, having been there. And that was a team that, you know, I actually thought played pretty well in Omaha last year. They've got a lot of those guys back, almost everybody. I mean, Roman Martin, you know, Rock Chalowski, arguably, along with Kerry Ell, neither number one or number two, you know, player in college baseball. And so they're loaded, both, you know, offensively and on the mound.
When you look, going back to LSU now, when you look at LSU, obviously they're replacing, the left side of their infield. They're replacing their third baseman, and they're replacing the two of the best pitchers in the country from last year. How do you think they're going to fare doing that? And have you had a chance to actually watch them practice any this fall or last fall?
Yeah, I did a little bit. And I tell you what, I think when you have a guy like Cason Evans, I'm not very worried about it. I mean, I think this is a guy that in some really high leverage situations last year, he pitched at a very high level. I kind of think back to what was the Tennessee series that he pitched so well there at the back end of that series. And so I have a lot of faith in him to kind of be that bona fide Friday guy. I think if you look at a guy like a Cooper Moore, from Kansas, you know, he pitched in some high leverage situations last year. You know, Marcus Paz, you know, arguably along with Angel Cervantes at UCLA, you know, he'd probably either one, two, or three, you know, freshmen in the country from a sheer talent standpoint. So I think you look at those pieces and you look at the back end with a guy like Maverick Rizzi, you know, Zach Cowan could start or be in the bullpen. So I just think they have a lot of weapons. I think, honestly, they might have more overall in terms of depth of weapons than they had last year. And again, we haven't even talked about Will Schmidt, who might have the most talent of anybody in the whole pitching staff. So it gives you an idea of the depth. And then offensively, I love this offensive unit. I think Trent Carraway, to me, is the name to circle. He's a guy that, you know, when he got to Oregon State and as a freshman was really impressive. I thought last year there were some times late in the season for the Bees that he kind of showed that superstar potential. And if there is one person who can kind of unlock that offensive potential from Trent Carraway, it's Jay Johnson. And so circle Trent Carraway. I think he's going to have a very big season for LSU.
What is it about Jay that allows him to bring out the best in these offensive players or guys that have the potential to unlock like
Carraway? That's a great question. Yeah, you know, he reminds me, and Jay will argue all day long, me comparing him to Augie Garrido. But, I mean, he at the end of the day, at the end of his career, he will be mentioned alongside Augie. Which he might find hard to believe, especially as a younger coach. But, I mean, when you think guys that can go out there and every single – when Jay Johnson goes out there and talks to a hitter, you know, people like me who have seen a lot of college baseball are like, uh-oh, because he's seeing something. And so I just think Jay kind of just knows how to unlock things. And I think he's very, like, on the ball in terms of what he notices in pitchers' tendencies, hitters' tendencies, and things like that. So I think he just has a unique quality, a lot like Augie, a lot like Ray Tanner. Ray Tanner at South Carolina was very similar. Ray kind of knew when things need to be tweaked in the middle of an at-bat, and Jay has that same quality. So I think that's the biggest thing.
Well, when you bring up Tanner and South Carolina, that's the last team to repeat, and that was like 2010, 2011. How hard is it to repeat today? And is it possible LSU could do that?
It's 100% possible. You know, if it wasn't Jay, I might be a little bit worried that they could repeat. But I'll say this. Jay is perfect for LSU because he's one of those guys that is satisfied, but he's never satisfied. That's going to confuse a lot of people. Yeah. Was he satisfied in the last year? Yes. Is he satisfied overall as a coach? No, because if they don't win it this year, he's not a satisfied person. So he's one of those people that can be satisfied and also unsatisfied. And so I just think that, you know, when you look at what he did in the offseason, meeting with coaches who have had to, you know, repeat, meeting with coaches who did repeat, he's always learning. And I think he'll go into the season knowing exactly how to coach this team. And, again, I mean, this is LSU. I mean, that's the standard. I don't – in modern college athletics, I don't ever want to say a team should repeat. Mm-hmm. But, if you don't win the national championship at LSU – it's considered a disappointing season. So I think these players, you know that the page has to be turned a little bit.
Well, you've got 11, if I'm not mistaken, 11 SEC teams in your top 25 heading into this weekend.
Yeah.
So are you projecting 13 NCAA bids again?
It's got to be. I mean, you could honestly make a pretty strong argument for 14, but I think 13 is a pretty safe bet. I think you get the 14th with a team like Oklahoma. I think even Oklahoma is going to be really good. South Carolina, you know, Paul Maneri's team, I actually thought had a chance to make a move, but boy, they've got an injury to KJ Scobie, one of their better players, and they lost their Friday starter. So I don't see them making a move, but I think there's 14 teams that can conceivably make the NCAA tournament. And what's kind of crazy is you're looking at Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and A&M and Kentucky. It's like those bottom four teams. And, dude, I mean, those teams have as much talent as anybody in the country. They can make a run in Omaha.
So it's really going to be a season in the SEC where there's not one single breather at any point during the season on the schedule.
Not at all. I mean, you know, even South Carolina with Paul there, I mean, they're going to go out there and give you all you can handle. You know, Missouri might be the only what I would consider a cupcake, but even Carrick, you know, he's upgraded the talent there a little bit. So I would say there are 14 teams in this league who, if you show up and you're not playing good baseball, you can absolutely lose a series to them, which is pretty unheard of.
So you have Georgia Tech checking in at number five, and I found that a little odd because don't they have a first-year coach right now?
They do. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great question because that's one we debated a lot as a staff. The thing about Georgia Tech is they're going to be good on the mound. They have continuity on the pitching staff. Matt Taylor, their pitching coach, was a holdover from the Danny Hall staff. And James Ramsey, you know, was a top assistant for the last, you know, 4 to 5 years for Georgia Tech. So it's not one of those situations like, you know, A&M where it's Mike Early and he's not really ready for the job. James Ramsey, you know, learned under Mike Martin. He learned under Danny Hall. He knows what it's like to be a head coach. And so I don't think there's going to be that transition that you typically see with a first-year head coach, kind of the same thing with Josh Uhlander at Tennessee. And the other thing about Georgia Tech is they're really going to hit. I mean, they went out and got one of the best players out of the portal this summer, Jared Avankula from California. You know, you look behind the plate with Von Lackey, one of the best backstops in the country. And then, of course, one of the best players in the country in Drew Burris. I mean, Drew Burris is right there with Curiel and Rochelowski.
How do you rate sort of, I guess, the top of the SEC right now? I know you have LSU at number two, but then you got Texas at three and Mississippi State at four. You've got Arkansas at seven, and I think you have Auburn at nine.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'll say two things quickly on the top of the SEC. I think Florida, with kind of rejuvenated Kevin O'Sullivan, is going to be really interesting. I think Sully, probably with the way the fall transpired for him off the field, was probably a little bit embarrassing. So I think he's going to be dialed in. I think that's scary for opposing teams if Sully's a little bit extra, you know, a little bit extra motivated. I think Texas, for me, the deepest pitching staff in the SEC. They might be the deepest pitching staff in the country. I have some question marks about the bottom of their lineup. But again, Texas, like a lot of teams, went out and got one of the best portal players in Carson Tinney. Then the one team I will say I'm a little iffy on, and I'll see them this weekend at Globe Life in Arlington, is Arkansas. Arkansas is kind of like the new age Florida State under Mike Martin, where you just know they're going to be good every year. But, man, they have a lot of question marks, including Gabe Gackle, a former reliever, moving in that Friday role.
All right, my last question, and I know Jeff probably has one for you, and I appreciate your time tonight, Kendall.
Absolutely, man.
It's always great having you on. But if you had to pick your early favorite for National Player of the Year, who are you looking at right now?
It's funny you say that. I actually just put in my picks for our bowl predictions that will go out on D1 Baseball on Thursday. And I went Derek Curiel. I just think you think of a guy, if I'm picking LSU to win the national championship again, and he's playing center field, and he's their best hitter, that's who I'm taking. So I got Derek Curiel.
Cool.
Hey, Kendall, we got to run. We appreciate your time, man. Thanks a lot for your knowledge, as always. Look forward to talking with you as the season goes along.
You got it, buddy. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
All right, that's Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com. We'll take a break. We are broadcasting tonight from the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard. When we come back, we will speak with our first library guest here on Tiger Rag Radio. So don't go away. More coming up right after this.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
We now return to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Hey, we're back here on Tiger Rag Radio, and it's always a pleasure whenever we get an opportunity to bring the show on the road. And tonight we're at the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard. And we just spoke with Kendall Rogers from D1Baseball.com. Jay Johnson, LSU baseball coach, will join us in about 10 minutes. But first, let's talk to Brandon Riley with the East Baton Rouge Parish Library System. He's here to tell us a little bit about Mid-City MicroCon. Brandon, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year if it's...
Yeah. I haven't seen you since last year. Happy New Year.
I wasn't going to tell you Happy Valentine's Day.
Please don't.
It would have been a little weird.
I don't even tell my wife Happy Valentine's Day. So.
All right. Well, tell us about Mid-City MicroCon.
We have this wonderful thing that is coming up on the February 21st from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. It's called Mid-City MicroCon. We do it every year for the past 6 years or so. We celebrate comic book culture. If you're into Marvel, if you're into comic books, if you're into graphic novels, movies, whatever, this is a place for you to come and meet people with similar interests. We're going to fill this entire building up with vendors. We're going to have all kinds of presentations. Keith Douglas will be here teaching people how to cartoon. Pratima Penipali will be here teaching people how to make zines. We're going to have Chris Thomas King, the actor and performer and author, will be here talking about his book and also talking about doing a short performance. We're going to have all kinds of activities. It's great for the whole family. And every year we cap it off with a big costume contest. So if you want to come and show off your handiwork, we encourage you to come out here. That's February 21st, next Saturday after this one, from 10 to 5 p.m. here.
10 to 5. So is this really for the avid comic book person, or you really don't even have to be into comic books to enjoy this?
No, absolutely not. If you like fun pop culture things,
yeah.
And you know, we like to uplift everybody's voice here, so if you're a local artist, we want you to come, and we've got lots and lots of local creators who will be here who love to talk about their art and show off what they do.
Yeah, that's cool. I would imagine you've done this event before, right?
This will be my second one running.
Second one running. Yeah. So how was it last year, and maybe some of the things you've done this year to make it even better?
Oh, last year was a hoot. I got a little too into it. I saw some of the pictures later. I was in one of those body suits, you know.
Oh, really?
And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And I can't say anything more than that. It is just a whole lot of fun, all compressed into one space.
Well, that is great. That is great. So this is these type of events. Give us an idea of what it means to the library to do this for the public and the type of exposure it gives to the East Baton Rouge Parish Library System.
Well, we have a number of events that we hold throughout the year, and what we love to do is bring people to our spaces and not just show that they belong and that we are part of the community and that they're part of the community, but to also kind of showcase everything we have. So the graphic novels, the comic books, the artistic endeavors, we have workshops for that during our regular hours. We have a collection that represents the people of this community, and we just want to get out there and shout about it. And this is one of the ways that we communicate to people about this wonderful library system that they have here in East Baton Rouge Parish.
All right, so tell us, give us again the kind of the rundown here for the Mid-City Microcon. It begins at what, 9, 10?
It begins at 10 o'clock. It's going to
start here at the Goodwood.
Right here at the Goodwood Library. We're going to have lectures in this room right behind you, in the big meeting room over there. Keith Douglas is going to start off our day with a drawing seminar. Pratima Pinnapalli will be here later to do a zine thing. We're going to have a panel with podcasters talking about how they got into podcasting, how they developed their audiences and their material. Then Chris Thomas King later in the afternoon. And finally, in the very late afternoon, at the end of the program, we'll have the costume contest. They call it cosplay, and it's a cosplay show and tell. You just come and talk about your art and what you put together.
The drawing exhibit, if they call it that, I guess seminar might be the best, however you want to describe it. That must be pretty cool, because that's going to show you how you kind of draw the comic books out.
Absolutely. Last year we had over 70 people sign up for it, and everybody left knowing that they were able to draw their own cartoon, because they walked out of it with a cartoon they had drawn, you know, following his instructions.
Well,
lots of happy faces.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Brandon, this should be a lot of fun. The Mid-City Microcon, it's on Valentine's Day, but this might be a cool place to bring your Valentine to, huh, for this event?
Well, I mean, let's see. Valentine's is the 14th, right?
Yeah.
And this couple days later.
Yeah.
So if you mess up Valentine's, you can make it up at Mid-City Microcon. And we got a website, too. Can I talk about that?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, it's ebrpl.co/MC Mid-City Microcon.
Okay. All right. So this is on February
21st.
So a week from Saturday. So, yeah, a week after Valentine's Day. The 21st Mid-City Microcon from 10 to 5, right?
10 to 5.
Okay. Brandon, thanks a lot for stopping by. Always a pleasure having you here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. That is Brandon Riley with the East Baton Rouge Parish Library System. We'll take a break. And LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson will join us as we'll talk about the 2026 Tigers. So stay tuned for that here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Super Chevy Dealer Studio is on the road tonight. We are at the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard as we are talking some LSU baseball. Hour number two, we will be talking some LSU women's basketball. Big weekend on the LSU campus. Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo from Tiger Rag. And joining us now on the show, it's LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson. Coach Johnson, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well, doing well. Friday is opening day, 2 o'clock, a little bit after 2 o'clock, the first pitch. What is your favorite part of opening day, or what do you enjoy the most about opening day?
Yeah, just grateful for, you know, honestly getting to do this job. You know, everybody's so excited about it around here. You get the full stadium. Everybody's been talking about it for a long time. So to get it here and let the players, you know, get out there and compete, you know, as a coach, I love practice. I'm never in a hurry to not practice, but there's definitely a sense of it's time to play. I'm really glad we don't have another week of inter-squad games. I don't think I could hold them off another week. So they're ready to go. And I think just the excitement and, you know, opportunity to win a game. I think we value winning here, obviously. And it's the next opportunity, and we're ready.
Coach, this is Todd. Before we launch into some hardcore baseball questions about this team and the season moving forward, I know you've probably met Coach Lane Kiffin, but have you actually had a chance to really talk to him yet? Because I got a couple questions. Like, did he steal your Tiger that you tweet? I mean, did you have that copyrighted, or, you know, when you land a player? Because he started doing that, and now I think he's trying to vie for the hardest worker on campus, hardest working coach on campus, which that title belongs to you too. And thirdly, who sleeps more, you or him?
Wow, that's a lot going on in that question there. I did meet him the day of the press conference, having been in those shoes before. I, at that point, was convinced he had no idea who I was, which is totally okay, and no idea that LSU won the baseball championship last year, which is totally okay. He's here for the job of being the football coach. So, and being in those shoes, like I said, I understand how that goes. And actually, I got a message from him not that long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, that just said, "Hey, Jay, it's Lane. Want to come over and see you. Finally got this team put together." And it was just so matter of fact. Like, I was like, "Yeah, you did." So I'm looking forward to getting together with him. He's texted me a couple other times since then, but love the energy that he's bringing. And I really believe good days are ahead for football and Tiger Stadium for sure.
Well, did he steal your Tiger, though? Because that was...
Oh, like... that thing. Yeah, somebody sent that to me, and I was like, that's awesome. I don't know if he did, but I'm okay with that. I think it's pretty cool. So, you know, I mean, we could be a baseball and a football school. There's nothing wrong with that.
So. All right, Jay. Todd and Jeff and I have been discussing who your rotation is going to be. Can you, for the weekend, I know it's just the opening weekend and it can change, but who's the, let's say, who's like the five or six guys you're thinking about for the top three for the weekend?
Yeah, I think that's a good question because we have five games in 6 days. So there's going to be five different, you know, starting pitchers, you know, over that time. We did have a good spring leading up where we were able to elevate a bunch of pitch counts. Really that same group, you know, when you talk about Evans and Schmidt and Moore and Cooper Williams and Jaden Newt, Marcos Paz, Reagan Ricken, Zach Cowan, obviously, Gavin Guidry, all those guys got their pitch counts up above 60. And so there's your grouping. I think you asked for five. I just gave you seven or eight. So
that's good. That's fair.
We should be able to announce, tomorrow is my hope. We're trying to get some intel on our opponent and generally don't want it out there until we know what we got there. So.
Yeah, that's two freshmen that you included in that six or seven, right?
Yeah, I definitely will go on record and say that Marcos Paz, Reagan Ricken, and Zion Theophilus, all three of those guys, the only three freshman pitchers we have, I do think they have a chance to start here someday. And obviously we love that sophomore class, you know, with Williams and Schmidt and Evans. So really excited that most of the heavy load of the pitching of our program is here in-house right now. And that's something that helps me sleep better at nighttime.
Is Marcos Paz the right-handed version of Cade Anderson in that obviously missed his senior season? You're grateful that you have him here and now is healthy his freshman season. Hopefully he has even a better freshman season than Cade Anderson, who had a good freshman season, but then obviously didn't really became your ace pitcher last season. But how do you kind of compare the two?
Well, I think there is a good comparison as they did not miss their senior year of high school. I don't know that Cade would have been at LSU or Marcos would be at LSU right now. So that is definitely a real thing. I think they're both high character individuals that have tremendous baseball and pitching ability. We're being very responsible though. Like I felt like we were within bringing Cade along. We're going to do the same thing with Marcos and maybe even, you know, a little bit slower just from the fact that his surgery time was 2 months later than Cade's was. Cade had his in May of his junior year. Marcos had it in July. And so he's at 19 months, which we're almost at that sweet spot where you feel like you're home free, but we're going to take care of him and build him up responsibly because you're going to want that guy on the mound in the box a lot over the next 3 years.
And Jay, who's a couple of hitters that have really jumped out at you, say, just over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think kind of easy no-brainer one is Mason Braun. Like, he led the team in hitting here over the 3 weeks of scrimmages. I think we played 11 of them or 11 and a half scrimmages. Really really capable player, capable hitter. You know, it was a good evaluation by us. He was originally committed to Virginia Tech, and then we saw him and felt like this guy is going to be a great college hitter. I felt like he had pro ability in terms of the ball comes off his bat and power, but combo of size and, you know, becoming a true good defensive player as well. Like, he really profiled as that really good player that showed up in college, and we were very fortunate about that. So he jumps off the page, you know, for sure in that regard. I think the other thing to watch for with our team is we have a lot of guys that we feel like are some interchangeable parts. So, you know, figuring out that right combination, it's going to take a little time, and it's going to be important for us.
Coach, Braun is playing backing up York at first base right now. He's also DHing. Is that what you're looking at right now?
Yeah, I think early in the season, a lot of his at-bats will come as a DH. I do think he's a capable first baseman and a corner outfielder.
Speaking of your outfield, I mean, it seems like it's set, right, with Kerrio, Chris Stanfield, and Jake Brown. But I know you're going to want to try to, especially here in the non-conference, really try to get some other guys out there. How are you going to try to – I know there's a bunch of games. You mentioned you're going to play 4 games in 4 days to start it off, or 5 games in 6 days to start us off. But give us an idea of how you're going to try to at least give some other guys a look out there in case, you know, something happens to one of those 3 main guys.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to win every game that we play, first and foremost. I've never been one of, like, hey, we're going to give some guys some looks. You know, we're going to do that in the context of this gives us the best chance to win. And I think when you look at the success just in this program, even for all the great postseason success, if you have a chance to play at home, your odds are much better of winning. And so I think a reason we've been a national seed in the 2 years we won the national championship is we haven't dumped too many games that we're not supposed to. I mean, I think last year we only lost 1 midweek game, and that was to Northwestern State, and they played great that night and they earned the win. But other than that, we did a really good job of, you know, winning the ones that you're supposed to win. And so that's always first and foremost. I think we have a lot of guys on this team, though, that can do something well, that can contribute to that. So I'm going to look for those spots, and then that's how we'll line them up to get looks at guys.
Hey, Jay, is there any way you can stay with us through the break, and we'll get you out of here at like 6:52?
All right, well, let's take the break then now. Can we take the break? Let's take the break now. Okay, so one more segment here with LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson. More as we continue on from the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library from Goodwood Boulevard on the Super Chevy Dealer Remote Studio. We'll be back after this.
Tiger Rag Radio is back live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
One more segment here with LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson on Tiger Rag Radio from the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Coach. So this weekend, like you mentioned, you open with 5 games in 6 days. Friday's opener is pretty clear. It looks like the weather's going to be great, but it looks like you have some trouble on Saturday. What are your meteorologists telling you right now?
Well, it's changed like 4 times in the last 24 hours to where it's inevitable. You got to move it back. To one of my sources just texted me and said, as long as you start at 1, you'll be fine. It's going to rain in the evening. So we're going to wait as long as we can before moving any game. So I don't think you'll hear anything about that until at earliest on Thursday.
But in all seriousness, it's not as big a deal at the beginning of the season as it is during conference play or in postseason, is it?
It is to me, because we want to play every game. And, you know, with the volume of games here we have and what I would say is the first 10 days of the season, like, we have to be really smart about that. And, you know, if we were going to move it, you know, obviously I'd rather move it up than move it back. So want to be smart about it. I'd love to keep it at the same game time. Weather's been really nice here the last few days, and would like to hold on to it as long as we can, honestly.
And Jay, I think your pitchers have been really dominant. Are some of your hitters catching up, or is that mostly the younger guys that have been struggling offensively?
What do you mean?
No, I mean the pitching definitely won the preseason, and you know, so much so I had to go back and like look at last year and what happened during that time frame, and the numbers were actually really similar. It just didn't maybe seem like that as much. I think the depth of the pitching, I just don't think there was a lot of drop off between whoever our best guy is and like the 12th guy. And so there was never really any like let up, you know, for the hitters. And those first two weekends, the weather was not good. It wasn't real good. I think one team got no hit one day, which that was a first that I'd ever seen. It was only a 6-inning game, but was still a no hitter.
Who pitched?
I think it was 6 different relievers actually for 1 inning at a time. And it was a sun. What's that?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say William Schmidt had like, I think he struck out 9 in a row at one game, right?
He did. Yeah, he did strike out. It was actually really interesting because I mentioned like we have some sorting out to do. And in that game, I put like 5 guys in the order against him in a row that I wanted to see how they would handle him. And nobody handled him for anything. He handled them. So I didn't get much out of that day. But, you know, after that game, it was good too, because I'd been paying a lot of attention to the pitching because I want to get this sorted out correctly, because I do think that's going to be how we use our pitchers is going to be incredibly key to our success. And Saturday we did pin some things down offensively, and I kind of slipped back into that room, you know, more as I usually do. And I thought our best 2 days were this past Saturday and Sunday, as the weather was getting warmer, more at bats under our belt, and optimistic going into the year based on that.
Jay, how's the competition been for second base? Has it even gotten tighter as preseason has gone along?
Yeah, it's been good. I think we've gotten some clarity relative to, you know, where we're going to start it out at. You know, I think you're going to see some mixing and matching. I do think Jack Ruckert is the best defender of the four, and so he's going to be the late inning defensive replacement, you know, at that position. He can also play some third, short if he needed to. So I think that was one thing that kind of stood out. So I'm happy about that, because I think he's going to be a really good player here. So that's going to give him a chance to get some experience. I think Seth Dardar has made some really good strides here late in the fall, as has Braden Simpson. And I throw all that in there. And then Tanner Reeves was one of the top 3 hitters in the fall. So Those 3 guys kind of sort that out. Tanner will also, you know, play some third base again, as he did last year. He's probably the 4th outfielder as well, so he's going to get plenty of time in a variety of roles. But you're probably looking at Braden and Seth and Tanner there at second base, just probably a day-by-day thing for a little while.
Well, Coach, it should be a lot of fun. I know – you know, a lot of this is tough trying to repeat, but I know you learned a lot of lessons from 2024. Some things that you're just really looking forward to seeing this weekend that you want to see out of your team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for an opportunity, like I said, to win a game. You know, it's really, really a good challenge. And what we call the season is a 56-game playoff. And I do that intentionally, partly to try to make sure we command the players' attention, and every game has the players' attention. I think I'm looking for, you know, them to slow their heartbeat down and just execute as they've been trained. One thing I've always cautioned the team on opening day is the problem with opening day is everybody's always trying to do too much. And I feel like that lesson has landed pretty well for my teams over the years. The first game that we played here, I remember we were playing Maine, and Dylan Cruz, Trey Morgan, and I think it was Dugas all struck out swinging on balls in the first inning. I was like, well, I didn't get through to this team very well with that match, but they all turned out all right.
They certainly did, and we expect the 2026 season to turn out all right as well. Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you if we can during the season. I know it's a busy time, but thanks for your time tonight.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
That's Jay Johnson. One more hour or one more segment to go in hour number one. When we come back, Lauren Tomlin from the East Baton Rouge Library System will join us here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious
with multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Funtno, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Wrapping up hour number one of the show, for those that are listening to us on Talk 107.3, Kim Mulkey Show is coming up. But if you want to keep listening to us here in the Baton Rouge area, you can go to TigerRag.com. We'll be talking a lot about the women's basketball game coming up on Saturday night as well. And we'll start to break that down in hour number two. Reed Darcy will join us from The Advocate, and then Captain Will from Gamecocks Talk will also join us. But we are also tonight, it's always a pleasure to be at the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard, and joining us now is Lauren Tomlin. She's been on the show before to talk about some of the great events that they have here at this library, and in this case, a lot of different branches of the East Baton Rouge Parish Library System. And Lauren, thanks a lot for joining us. I know you were excited to hear that LSU baseball talk. You're telling me you're going to the games on Sunday and Monday.
I am. I'm very excited for LSU baseball.
You can tell. It's everybody can't wait. It's I think it's only like this in this part of the world when it comes to college baseball, that's for sure.
Calculating who he's going to play.
Well, you're here to talk about a Celtic concert experience. Obviously, we got Valentine's Day coming up Saturday, right, but in March, all eyes turn to St. Patrick's Day. Well, yes, we got Mardi Gras coming up too, but then in March, we got everybody's looking forward to St. Patrick's Day, and the East Baton Rouge Parish Library System
definitely
has a bunch of stuff when it comes to this Celtic concert experience.
Yeah, so Lady Chops and Madame Dulcimer are going to be back. They've done lots of concerts for us in the past. They're a huge hit. So they're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with us by featuring songs from the countries of Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. So they're going to be visiting the South Branch, Carver Branch, Greenwell Springs Branch, Jones Creek, Zachary, and Blue Bonnet branches to bring you that St. Patrick's Day experience.
And this all starts on Friday, March 23rd. March 13th.
Yeah,
about that.
No worries. March 13th and 14th, and then 16th and 17th. So you can contact any of the libraries, contact the children's departments, and they can tell you what date for what branch.
So give us an idea of what's going to happen, for instance, at the South Branch on Friday, March 13th at 4 p.m.
So Ladies Chops is a percussionist, and Madame Dulcimer plays a dulcimer. So they usually will play different songs for about 45 minutes. They usually get, crowd participation and stuff. It's really great. What I like about when they come together for us is it's all ages. I mean, the children's department's putting this on, but the kids enjoy it. Their parents enjoy it. Any age can enjoy this. It's really fun. It's like one of our big programs. Every time they come visit us, either for Christmas, they'll be here at the STEM kickoff for summer reading later on. They bring in the crowds. They usually have a really awesome show.
Wow, that's cool. That's good stuff. And, everybody's kind of in the Irish spirit, especially when it comes around St. Patrick's Day. So, but this probably really gets you into it, being involved in this.
Oh, definitely. I'm excited.
How many years have East Baton Rouge Parish Library System been involved with these?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I want to say forever. Best.
Yeah.
I would say at least, I feel like since I've been back in the children's room, at least 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
So, and she's done programming for our teens, and she's probably done programming for adults. So, we all try to fight over her and snag her for our for our sections.
Lauren, where can I go on the website to find more information?
EBRPL.com/kids.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Lauren,
right,
for your time tonight. We really appreciate it. Always love being here at the library.
Oh, yeah. We love having you.
That does it for hour number one. We'll talk some Lady Tigers basketball when we come back. This is from the East Baton Rouge Parish Library System, the main library on Goodwood Boulevard, the Super Chevy Dealer Remote Studio. More of Tiger Rag Radio right after this.